Message today is entitled Hearing God's Voice, and I couldn't help but think of this song. It's an old-time hymn that we oftentimes sing as an invitational, and the song simply says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, right? My son Titus is celebrating his saved birthday today, the day that he was saved 5 years ago, so that's exciting. That's the day that he answered that soft and tender call. I remember it very, very well. We were doing a meeting up on the west side of Wilkesboro, Pennsylvania, and he came to Mommy one day when we were in the middle of a pastor's prayer meeting. He came to Mommy, I want to talk to Daddy as soon as he gets home because I don't want to be left behind. And he knelt down by the couch and asked Jesus to be a personal savior. I'm not sure if I've ever shared that story with you before or not, but he knelt down by the couch there, and he stood up, and after he had prayed to receive Jesus as his savior, he stood up and looked at Mommy and me, and we were both crying. And he says, Daddy, Mommy, I thought this was supposed to be a happy thing. Well, it was a happy thing, but four-year-olds don't understand tears of joy, right? But softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you, calling for me. I pray this song will help you to think today, what is Jesus calling you to do? Maybe it is salvation, and maybe there's something else he's prompting you or calling you softly and tenderly to do. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home.
why do we tarry when Jesus is pleading? Pleading for you and for me. Why do we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you and for me. Mercies for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Well, thank you so much for the good singing. Appreciate the order of service and how everything just seems to go together and flow together. Appreciate Pastor Jethniel and putting those things together. Thank you for that. Well, we live in confusing times sometimes, don't we? Knowing what's right, what's wrong, who to follow, whom not to follow, especially in our world today, isn't it? Very confusing sometimes. But for the Christian who earnestly desires to follow the Lord, we want to hear from God. And I appreciate those last two songs about listening to God's voice. And that's really the message today is, how do we know what God is saying? How do we know who is speaking and who is not? I heard a story recently of a pastor telling this story. Actually, I read it in a book. It said that one night he got a call from a lady in his congregation, and she proceeded to tell him on the phone that the Lord had told her that she was to marry him. And he said, okay, well, did the Lord also tell you what I'm supposed to do with the wife that I have right now? Hey, can I tell you that not everything people say the Lord told them to do was the Lord? In that case, it was definitely not. And she kind of paused on the phone and says, well, I don't know about that. You know, though, in serious note, though, people do some preposterous things. Crimes are committed in the name of God. It was a lady, a horrendous act, killed her own children. You might have read about this some time ago in Texas. And her response was, God told her to do it. How horrible. Well, can I tell you something? That wasn't God. That was some of the voice she heard, but that sure wasn't God. And sometimes we get so confused in our day and age that anytime we hear voices, we think it's God's. How do we know what is God's voice and what perhaps is Satan's? Or what perhaps is our own flesh? And I've been burdened about this area because I've heard so many even well-meaning Christians say, well, this is what God told me to do. God told me to tell off this person. Or God told me that I need to be saved again when I know for sure I've already been saved. And there's lots of confusion sometimes. So will you please turn to John chapter 10? Today we want to look at how do we know the voice of God and how can we listen to the voice of God. John chapter 10 and verse 4. Pardon me if we've already covered this in Sunday school, but maybe the Lord is just trying to bring this home to our thoughts and minds this morning. If you're with me in Sunday school, we looked at these verses. But look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is the discourse on the Good Shepherd. And what a wonderful passage this is. But look what it says here in verse number 4. Jesus is the shepherd. We are the people of his pasture. The shepherd, the sheep analogy. It says, when he putteth forth his own sheep. And it's talking about a shepherd. but in a greater way, it's talking about Christ. But it says, when he, the shepherd, putteth forth his own sheep, he, the shepherd, goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. It says in verse 4, it says, they, the sheep, know his voice. Verse number 5, they will not follow a stranger because they do not know the voice of strangers. We can know the voice of God. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll help us. We look into the subject, knowing the voice of God. Father, there's much confusion. There's much false teaching. There's many cults out there today besides the world that tells us so many things, and our own flesh tells us so many things, Lord, that we need to beware. And then, Father, may we go just beyond being beware, but, Father, I pray that when you, God, you do speak, as your voice is clarity, your Holy Spirit is conviction, that we might follow wholeheartedly and we might obey your will. Help us to put away the things of the world, the things of our flesh, and to listen to you and obey as you draw us and as you speak to us. So, Lord, I pray that this message will be informative, but yet, Lord, also may it be what exactly we need. If there's one here today that hasn't answered the call to salvation, Father, would you impress that upon that person's heart so much that they will not be comfortable until they leave today without knowing for sure that they have heeded that call, that they have received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We ask these things now and pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in this passage of Scripture, Christ is a shepherd. We're the sheep. It says that the sheep follow the shepherd because they hear his voice. They can recognize the shepherd's voice apart from others. I mentioned in Sunday school class this morning, just I'm not a shepherd. I never raised sheep. I've seen it from a distance. We actually lived on a farm where sheep were being raised and had a few chances to observe the sheep. As I get my phone, this on here, it doesn't look like it's on. All right, there we go. Maybe that'll be better. You can put me on here now, Brian. Hopefully that'll work. There we go. All right. But, you know, watch a little video clip, and it's amazing. Some people tested this out. Will sheep follow their shepherd's voice? And so they went to the Middle East or somewhere, someplace where they were speaking in different accents and so forth. But they told this group of people what to say, and these are the cadence, the words you use, and the sheep will come. And so one by one, several, two or three of them went up, and they did this little cadence of words and ah-da-ba-da-da-ba-da or something like that, and no sheep moved at all. They were just grazing happily, didn't give a care or whatever what they heard. And then the shepherd came, or the farmer, and he, with the right cadence, with the right tonation, that used the exact same words, but it was almost humorous. And you could watch this video clip if you want. Just go to YouTube and look up this. Do a sheep follow the shepherd's voice? And it was amazing. One by one, those sheep that were grazing looked up. And they recognized that shepherd's voice. And one by one, they started coming and advancing to that shepherd. It was just truly amazing. Well, see, relating it to the Christian life, we can know the shepherd's voice. We can recognize it, all right? It's kind of the same idea with a mother and a child, a little baby. You know, that baby will recognize his mother's voice above all others. And you that work in a nursery can probably identify with this. That baby might be crying and crying and crying. And the moment that mother walks in and says something, boom, all of a sudden she recognized, maybe even when they're very little, they recognize the mother's voice. They learn to hear that voice and to respond to it. Again, a pastor was telling the story about how he was in his office after church and his granddaughter was just making a ruckus. There was a group of people gathered in his office, and so he went to the granddaughter to try to soothe that granddaughter and speak kind words and Pap is here, and settle down, it's okay. And that granddaughter just carried on all the more until Mom walked in. And then Mom said, "Why are you crying?" And immediately that granddaughter stopped. And you've experienced things like that. And, you know, so children, babies, can even recognize one voice over another. They can recognize their mother's voice. Something about that mother's voice brings calmness, doesn't it? All right? In fact, you know, think about this just a minute. Those that work with money, bank tellers and so forth, how do they recognize what's counterfeit?
They study the real thing. They know the real dollar bill. They know what it looks like. And the more we know Christ, the more we're drawn to Him, we will quickly recognize this isn't the voice of God. So how do we know God's voice? Well, let me give you three things today. Number one, we need to listen to the Word, to listen to the Word of God. Now, it must start here. And let me say this. Many people, including Christians, get very confused because they are going outside the Word of God to hear His voice. Even well-meaning Christians, they'll say, well, God told me to do this, because they're listening to voices. Does it line up with God's Word? Is what I think God's telling me, is there Scripture to back that up? And if there's not, we must then dismiss what we're hearing. What God tells us will never contradict His Word. Never contradict His Word. Romans 10:7 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. By the Word of God. Hey, don't ever get caught in the trap and say, well, I don't know what God's Word says, but I know what I experienced it. Boy, I've had so many people tell me that. And they'll tell me about things that have happened to them and so forth. And I said, boy, that doesn't sound like it's of God. Now, it wasn't anything terrible like killing your children or something. But I got to the place I thought, that really doesn't sound like God and something God would do. Well, how did I know that? Well, it's in God's Word. And the Word came back to me, well, this is what I experienced. And you know, don't ever put your experience above God's Word. Your experience might have happened because you ate a pepperoni pizza the night before. Your experience might have happened because thoughts were filling your mind after you had an argument with your spouse. I have no idea what experiences happen and why they happen. But we cannot trust experiences. We cannot trust feelings. Somebody said feelings are like a football. All right, this is football season. All right, when somebody fumbles, boy, that football, it gets very entertaining, doesn't it? And that football bounces all over the place and sometimes takes unexpected bounces. Like, what was that famous Pittsburgh bounce? They called the immaculate what? Yeah, reception. Way back with, who was it? Franco Harris, you know? All right? And it bounced off the guy's backside, and he grabbed it and took it in for a touchdown. Hey, you know, well, feelings are like that. Feelings go all over the place. And if you base your Christian life on feelings, well, I just feel like I was supposed to tell that person today, and it was very ugly, and maybe use some choice words. Hey, that probably was not of God. In fact, I can say that was not of God. God said, be ye kind one to another. Sometimes our feelings come because we're hurt. Sometimes our feelings come because our flesh wants to do something. Don't mistake that for the Word of God. All right. Two things to keep in mind when listening to God's Word. First of all, learn Bible principles. Learn Bible principles. Turn with me to Philippians, will you? Just a minute. Philippians chapter 3. As you're turning there, let me just explain this. There are two things in the Word of God. There are commands that are very clear. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. We know all those. But then there are other things in Scripture that are principles. That is, the Bible was written over many centuries to be applicable to in any time period. So God gave general principles many times that we need to take and we need to apply. And this is where a lot of people get off too, because they say, well, where in the Bible does the Bible say that? Well, the Bible does say some things like, whether therefore ye eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. So we need to measure, hey, is this thing that I'm thinking, is this thing that I'm considering, is it to the glory of God? Another verse mentions such things as, be ye kind one to another. Is it kind? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Is this thing something that I would like to have done to myself? And the more we get God's Word in us, the more we get to know Christ. All right. The more we get to know God's thoughts, all right, what He's thinking, then we will understand and realize what His will is for our life. You see, this is how God speaks to us, primarily. God did speak in an audible voice in time past, but this is the way He speaks to us today. He's written it down. And you want to know what God says? Well, look it up and study it. Look at Philippians 3:10. I had you turn there. And this is ought to be our goal for our Christian life. It says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. You know what our goal should be? that I might know him and really get to know. Husband, wife, you spent a long time getting to know. Maybe some of you married longer than others. Maybe in some newlyweds, some are 10, 15, 20, 30, maybe 50 years. But you have spent a lifetime getting to know that person. And probably even some of you give testimony that you've been married 50 years or more, you're still getting to know that person, all right? But that's your life goal, to get to know that wife, to get to know that husband. And not just know facts about him, but to really intimately know what makes him tick. What does he love? What does he not love? What does she love? What does she not care so much about? What are her joys? What is his pleasures? Hey, that's what God wants from us. And the more we grow closer to know him, then the more we'll know God's voice when he speaks and we'll follow him. All right. So what do we need to keep in mind as we listen to God? Well, we need to learn Bible principles. Secondly, we need to learn from Jesus. I appreciate Ed reading John chapter 1. Let's go back there just a minute. Because we need to know Bible principles. We need to know what the Word of God says. We need to say, hey, what does God say about this? We need to put things to the test. We need to use a Bible verse to say, hey, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. John chapter 1 and verse 1, as we already read, in the beginning was the what? Was the Word. Now we talk about the Word and we say, number one, hearing the voice of God comes from the Word of God. We understand also that the Word, capital W here, refers to Jesus Christ. Okay? He is the living Word. In fact, that word there, when it says in the beginning was a Word, notice it's capital W. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14 clearly explains that it was Jesus. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You need to understand that that Word is the word logos, and that logos means not just you know, letters that come out of our mouth, but it's the thought and the essence, what is gathered in the mind. In other words, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and there's so much we can think about with this, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is actually the living embodiment of the mind of God. Wow. See, anytime we speak, it starts in the mind. And really, our words are just representative of what is going on in our mind. Likewise with Christ and God, when God speaks, it's what's in His mind. And so Jesus Christ is the living Word, because all that Jesus Christ is what God is. And it's a little bit difficult to wrap your mind around, but He is the living Word. Think about that. And so as we examine what is the Word of God in this situation that we need to know, we need to hear, well, number one, what's written? And number two, what does Jesus say about it? All right? And immediately we think, well, that's the Gospels. But you know, it goes beyond the Gospels, because the epistles are really an extension of the Gospels. The Old Testament is the symbolic of Jesus Christ, all right, with the feast and the sacrifices and the holy days. They were all symbolic of Christ. The Old Testament points to Christ. The epistles doctrinally teach the message of Christ. The revelation is Christ's return. Really, the whole book is about Christ, the living Word of God. So if we want to know the Word, and I want to hear a word from God, think of the Word in John 1:1, Jesus. Turn with me to Hebrews 1, first chapter in Hebrews. Because this also talks about Jesus being the one that communicates to us. He communicates God's mind. In fact, He is the embodiment. He is, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's the Word. All right. But look what it says in Hebrews 1. And this really kind of clears up a little bit about how God speaks today. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times fast unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Now look at this just a minute. Verse 1 tells us in sundry times, that means in many different times, in many different manners, God spake in times past. God spake in time past by an audible voice. I would have liked to have heard that. What was it like in the Old Testament when God spoke to Abraham? where God spoke to Moses? Was the voice deep and resonating like the Charlton Heston, you know, type of voice or whatever on the Ten Commandments? Was it more thundering? I don't know. But God did speak in time past to the fathers that way. God did speak in time past to the prophets that way. God did speak in time past through visions. God did speak in time past through dreams. But notice what it says here. God did use those methods, but the method he uses today is what? In verse 2, he in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. You know, the Word of God is all about Jesus. The Word of God is all about Christ. And so how do we know the mind of God? How do we know if his speaking, does it line up with the Word of God? In fact, if I'm searching God's will and I'm praying, I say, God, is this what you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to? The first thing I need to do is consult the Word of God. God, what does your Word say about this? What principle? I know there was just a time Pastor Jethniel and I were talking. And immediately the conversation went to, well, what would Jesus do? Is there an example in the life of Jesus Christ in what he did that we can follow? That's a good idea. You know, as he brought that up. Hey, what did Christ do that we can follow, that we can learn from? What did Christ teach? What does the Word of God teach about this? Even in the epistles, the Old Testament, different places. We need to follow the Word of God. We need to follow Christ. Hey, if you want to know and hear God's voice, get in the Word of God. So many people will say, well, I just don't know. And maybe they'll just go by their feelings. Hey, can I tell you, there's nothing better getting the Word of God. You know, you read through the Gospels and things, and you read through the book of Acts. How many times, or even Paul's epistles, did they quote the Old Testament? You know, they're always quoting the Old Testament. That is, and Jesus, now Jesus was God, yes, but many times he operated on his human flesh and his upbringing, and he would quote the Old Testament freely. It was just so much in his mind that he knew it. And he knew God's mind, he knew God's thoughts. Hey, how do we know God's voice? Number one, listen to the Word of God. Read it, study it. Hey, make it your passion, get into it. I'm so thankful we have the Faith Bible Institute, something like that. But whether you do that or whether you don't do that or on your own, your study, take time to get to know the Word of God. Hey, treasure it, love it, delve into it, like searching for hidden treasure. Because I want to know what God thinks. And, you know, the more I'm amazed, I'm 56 years old. I know I don't look that old. But I'm learning things, and I read passages over and over again. I'm going through the Bible maybe 5-6 times, I guess. I don't know. But I get to a passage, and I think, wow, I never saw that before. Why? Because the Bible's a living book. And it meets your need at that time that you need it. And God always is revealing things to you. I compare Scripture with Scripture. I got a study Bible. Hey, listen, you know what? We don't give out study Bibles to you seniors just to make us feel good. We want you to get into the Word of God. And I give you a study Bible, the one I use. And it's got cross references in there. It's got little A's and B's. Look, read the verse. Hey, what's that A? Oh, it says go to 1 Samuel. Let me go to 1 Samuel. And that helps you understand what that verse is saying. All right? What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say if you want to know the mind of God, if you want to hear God's voice, he's already got it written down for you. Get in the Word of God. But secondly, number two, to hear God's voice, listen to godly counsel. Listen to godly counsel. Listen to a few of these verses. Proverbs 11:14 says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 20, verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel. With good advice, make war. You know, God can speak to you through others. That's one way he has chosen to do that. If you are making a decision, and so many times that sometimes we're trying to hear God's voice and to know what God is telling us, there's two good options. What should I do? And that's where the dilemma comes. Can I tell you, there's nothing wrong with all seeking out good counsel. Seeking out good counsel. Go to someone, though, who's godly, not someone that is backslidden or someone that's maybe not really very strong Christian. Go to someone you know who's a godly man or a godly woman and say, hey, what do you think about this? By the way, that's what a great blessing it is to be married to a godly man or godly woman. Amen. Because they can help give you counsel and help you to think clearly and so forth. And there's been so many times in my life, my wife and I have asked her about things, and she's given me godly counsel. I get on the phone and I talk. I've got three pastors I talk to. that have been instrumental in my life. One of them is my dad. And my dad really now, getting up in age, he can't really communicate as much as he used to. But I used to love talking to him and a couple other pastors and just saying, hey, what do you think about this? Am I thinking correctly here? And many times they'll either confirm it or they'll say, well, no, think about this in a different way or so forth. Hey, we need that. We are not islands. God wants us to communicate with other people. In fact, don't get into the idea or the mode that, hey, I got it all figured out. Don't get in the self-made man mode where, you know what, I am just going to tell everybody what I think and got it all figured out. God says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And so you're coming upon something in your life. You say, God, I need to hear your voice. I need to know, God, what are you telling me to do? And then you think you have the answer. Then don't just go broadcast it and say, hey, I'm going to tell you a thing or two. This is the answer. Hey, ask people, what do you think? Am I thinking correctly on this? And God will give you wisdom. Hey, listen to God's word first and foremost. Secondly, listen to godly counsel. Thirdly, listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, this is interesting because God does communicate through his Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans 8, verse 14. And this is just one of the many verses that talk about how the Holy Spirit does lead and guide us. Now, when you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's God, third person of the Trinity. All right? And he does live and reside within you. The Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of their sin. The Holy Spirit convicts the Christian of their sin. But the Holy Spirit also leads and he guides us. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Led by the Spirit of God. All right? Hey, has the Holy Spirit ever led you? Yeah, the Holy Spirit's led me. Oh, many times, almost every day. How does the Holy Spirit lead? Well, you remember the story of Elijah? Elijah wanted to hear God speak in a loud, thunderous way. In fact, sometimes God does. He did on Mount Carmel. He called that fire to come down from heaven and just wiped out the altar and everything, and proving that God is the God to the Baal worshipers. But then the next day, he fled from Jezebel because one lady said she's going to kill him. And so he fled into the wilderness. And he had a pity party, got depressed, and sat down by a tree and says, God, I want to die. He got to the mountain. And then God gave him a lesson. And God, on that mountain, caused the winds to blow. He called an earthquake to come. And God said, I'm not in any of those. All right, I'm not in the wind. I'm not in the earthquake. But then God spoke to him in what? Still small voice. That's the way the Holy Spirit speaks. Sometimes in that still small voice, I say, this is what you need to do. Hey, there's times I'll be walking through a grocery store, somebody in the parking lot or any place I might be, and I hear something tells me, hey, give that person a track. Now, by the way, whenever you hear something like that, you'll say, number one, does this line up with Scripture? Yes, it does. God says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. All right? And does it line up with counsel? Well, I don't really have to counsel because I know what the Word of God says. It's pretty clear. And God said, if he wants me to give that tract to somebody, I'll give it to him. You know? There's been times I have not obeyed God's voice. There's been times that I did and I was glad I was. And usually the time when I hear that and I say, go speak to that person. You need to speak to that. Or sometimes I'll be talking with people and the Lord will press upon me, just pray with them right now. Or go to that house and make that visit. And this is just not what a pastor can do. Maybe the Lord impresses upon your heart, hey, you need to go visit that person. You need to send them a card. Hey, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can lead and guide, okay, as it agrees with Scripture, as it agrees with Scripture. And we need to obey and listen to that voice. But can I say this as well? Be careful, as I already alluded to, that Satan can also speak. The Bible calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. What does Satan do night and day in heaven? He accuses the brethren. He points out their faults. And Satan many times will come and discourage you And he'll tell you you're no good. Or he'll tell you your past sins are hindering your Christian walk with the Lord. Or he'll tell you this or that. And we get discouraged. Listen, can I tell you, that's not the voice of God. Someone put it this way, and I thought this was good. A little chart I found. God's voice and Satan's voice. Listen, God's voice stills you. Satan's voice rustles you. God's voice leads you. Satan's voice pushes you. God's voice reassures you. Satan's voice frightens you. God's voice enlightens you. Satan's voice confuses you. God's voice encourages you. Satan's voice discourages you. God's voice comforts you. Satan's voice worries you. God's voice calms you. Satan's voice obsesses you. God's voice convicts you. Satan's voice condemns you. Now listen, I'll give testimony. There's times in my life that I have felt oppressed by Satan. Now, by the way, you cannot be possessed by Satan. Believers cannot be possessed by the devil. Please don't get that confused. But we can be oppressed. That is, Satan can come and whisper things in our ear to discourage us, to get us off track, or to get us confused. You know where we need to go at that time? We need to go back to the Word of God. Listen, I heard a pastor say this, and it helped me so much, that, hey, if what you're thinking doesn't seem like it's right thinking, then it's probably not right thinking. That's been a good rule of thumb. As a Christian, if you know God's Word and you know what it says, it's not God saying, go commit suicide. It's not God saying, go kill your children. It's not God saying to utter those curse words. It's not God saying, go tell somebody off. It's not God that's saying, do something that it's against His Word. It's not God saying, go gossip about something. It's not God saying, slander somebody. That's not God telling you to do that. Hey, we need to stay with what God says. Stay with what God says. What are some hindrances? I'm going to veer off my outline just a little bit, but what are some hindrances to hearing God's voice? And what I was telling you, there's been times in my life that I thought, Lord, I'm not thinking right. I'm not thinking about this situation right at all. God, help me to get back. And you know, God used Scripture. God used messages from God, from God's men in the pulpit to really help me to get my mind back on track to what it should be. And listen, can I tell you, when God speaks, when God speaks, it is clear. You know exactly what you're supposed to do. And if you don't do it, you know you're sinning against God. Hey, I've been to those places. I've been where God has convicted me so much, I knew 100% it's of God, and if I didn't come down to that altar and get it right with God, then I'd be terribly missing what God exactly wanted me to do. Hey, it's in those times you need to respond. But why don't we, and let me change the thoughts a little bit, but why don't we, when God speaks clearly, why don't we listen to God's voice? Let me give you three thoughts here. Number one, there's too many voices in the world. Listen, I've worked with young people a lot in my time, in my ministry, Christian schools, youth group, and different things. And you know, I've increasingly noticed something as the world continues on and on, is that teenagers especially, and adults as well, increasingly, now more and more, we get plugged into the world, don't we? You ever see people walking around and they have these plugs in their ears the whole time? When they're walking around, when they're driving a car, and when they go to bed at night, when they eat dinner, or maybe not just plugged in. Maybe I'm even old-fashioned with that one, but they got the phone constantly going. You know, we are so much plugged into the world, we can't even hear God's voice. Hey, it's like a mom calling her son, son, dinner, dinner. Now it gets louder and louder and louder. Why can't he hear? Because he's got plugged up with so much other stuff in his ears. Hey, can I tell you, unplug sometime. Unplug it. Take it out. Put your phone away. Just get quiet with God. You say, oh, I can't do that for more than 2 minutes and I got to plug something back in or do something. Listen, God wants that because He wants to talk to you and you need to listen. Listen, can I tell you, that's why I love camp. Parents, if you say, oh, I don't like camp. Listen, you are, if you're saying my kids don't have to go if they don't want to, you are robbing your kid of a wonderful experience getting out in the woods somewhere at a Christian camp I'm talking about and having a quiet time with God, which many of them do, and God can speak to their hearts. In fact, they're getting away from their phones, getting away from their friends, unplugging them, get them disconnected. That's when God can really speak to you. Either sometimes I'm driving. I drive to Pittsburgh to see people in the hospital. You know what? You think I'm weird. I don't even play the radio. For 30 minutes, I'm just driving, looking at the scenery. You think, what in the world can you do? I would go crazy if I didn't have something in my ears, dun, 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 or plugging in or something, or I'd go nuts. No, you know what I do? Let's talk to God. And he walks with me, talks with me, tells me I'm his own. I love it. You say, oh, boy, I can't take that. Try it sometime. And you'll be amazed how God speaks to you. Words of comfort, words of peace, words of encouragement. Hey, too many times we don't hear God's voice because we're plugged into the world too much. Secondly, we don't hear it because we're too entangled in the things of the world. Maybe the things we're doing are good, but you know, plain busyness keeps us from hearing God's voice because we're going, 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 going all the time. We get up in the morning, boom, we're off to work. We get home from work, boom, we're off on another project. We're done that project, boom, we're off to the next, zip, zap, zoom. And we never stop and just say, Lord, I just want to sit at your feet. God, give me something I need today. Lord, speak to my heart. I'll tell you, is your devotion time precious to you? Do you even have devotion time? And is your devotion time precious to you? Well, it gets kind of boring. I don't know. Don't get nothing out of it. Well, maybe that's because you're not listening. Or maybe that's because we're too busy. Take time to sit at God's feet. And number three, maybe sometimes we don't hear God's voice because too much of our own flesh is involved. A.W. Tozer, a great writer, great author, says this, most Christians don't hear God's voice because we've already decided we aren't going to do what he says. Wow. Why don't they come to church? Hey, you're sitting here for an hour hearing God's voice. Nobody's plugged in, I don't think. Okay? That's a great thing, all right? But why don't people come to church? Because they've already decided they want to do what God says. And if God says it, that's just going to make them feel uncomfortable. You know, you just need to be open. God, I want to do whatever you want me to do. And Lord, I want to obey. So speak to me clearly, God, and then help me to obey. Listen, God wants to speak to you. He does. And the more you get to know him, the more you'll recognize his voice. Like this says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. You can recognize God's voice. And when you recognize it, would you obey? Maybe there's someone here sitting here today. The first thing you need to hear God's call to and obey is his call to salvation. He might be speaking to you and say, have you been saved? Have you called upon me and asked me to save your soul? Have you responded to my call to salvation? That's the first and foremost response we need to make. Christian, how about you? Is he speaking to you and are you listening? Are you hearing what God has to say to you? Father, I pray you'll help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to hear your word. Help us to hear what you speak to us. May it be clear. May there be no doubt about it. Help us, Lord, times we're going through a struggle that we might seek out godly counsel, that we might seek your word to know what you are telling us. But Father, many times it's so clear what you're telling us. Help us to listen. Oh God, would you call some to salvation? Would you call some to full-time Christian work? Lord, I'm convinced more are called, but we're not listening. Help us, Lord, to unplug from the world. Help us to unplug from our own flesh. And God, just listen to your voice. Father, and may you speak. When you speak, may we obey. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, is there one here today? Say, Pastor, it's me. God's speaking to me. Right now, he's speaking to me. And I'm hearing him. And I need to be saved. I need to answer his call. And I need to pray and ask him to save my soul. I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand just a second? Salvation is very simple. It's just simply calling out the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you and asking him to save you from your sins that you might have a home in heaven. Young people, adult alike, is there one here to say, hey, I need to be saved? Christian, are you listening to God's voice? Oh, as we have this quiet time, would you talk to him and say, Lord, help me to listen to your voice and obey. Father, I pray you'll bless in this invitation time. In Jesus' name, would you please stand to your feet?